life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That remains to be seen.
Well, I don't know what
now
else.
Now they moved Hee Haw, we might be.
Oh, no. You can't compete with Hee Haw. I mean.
I know. Like they moved it.
Yeah, so you can't.
We're number one in the slot now.
Oh, they moved it out. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then we're okay. Thank God. You know.
Few.
I mean, really? The Hee Haw Honeys?
Yeah.
No, you can't compete with that.
Exactly.
Kenny Rogers' wife? I mean, come on, man. Elvis's girlfriend was a Hee Haw Honey.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Got a few.
Aren't they all Elvis's girlfriend?
Exactly.
True. True.
Well, this is Madman Bob, and joining me today are good old gal Denise.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And Madman
Morning Bob, excited for a morning of grape juice in the basement.
And good old boy Justin.
Good morning. Always good to be here, out of the light, in the basement.
The basement is kind of your favorite place, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's
dark. It's damp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like Renfield. Just keep you in the corner and feed you spiders.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, our sip segments are all of wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, anything else that you can sip. And today is a wine episode, so here's the wines we're going to discuss today. So from Cormorant, we have the Cormorant Cellars Sauvignon Blanc 2021, the Cormorant Cellars Grenache Blanc Marseille Blend 2021, the Cormorant Cellars Chardonnay 21, and the Cormorant Cellars Red Blend 2021. And then from Tensley Vineyards, we have the Tensley Fundamental Cabernet Sauvignon 2021, Syrah Turner Vineyard 2022, the Tensley Syrah Tensley Vineyard 2022, and the Tensley Syrah Colson Canyon Vineyard 2022.
That's sure is.
Yeah, I think we're up to it though. So, well,
we're seasoned professionals.
We're going to try.
Don't
this.
Try this at home.
We're going to be tasting and rating these wines. I'm rating them along with these sips sounds, and we're going to have Justin tell us all about those.
All right. These wines are going to go ahead and make my day. One sip. Ugh. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. Two sips. Nice. Like a 44 Magnum. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That was almost like a William Shatner for a second.
Five sips. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. See what you've been missing?
That was the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It was mostly ugly. Yeah. It's Clint Eastwood spinning in his grave. The man's not even dead yet. Oh, Lord. Right? Okay. Well, let's move on, see if we can possibly
thank the Lord
salvage this mess. And we're going to have Denise tell us about our first winery and hopefully get that memory in the past.
Okay, here we go. Well, over the two decades that Charlie Gilmore has been making, a guiding principle that simplicity makes the best wines. He put that philosophy to the test when he founded Cormorant Cellars in 2018, a collection of wines that are unfined, unfiltered, and made in an old world style from certified organic grapes grown in Sonoma, Monterey, and the Santa Cruz Mountains. Cormorant wines are 100% vineyard sourced and grown without synthetic pesticides or synthetic fertilizers. Charlie is hands-on in the winery, but designs his winemaking to stay out of the way of the wine, using ambient yeast from the vineyard, an absolute minimum of sulfites, minimal manipulation by pumps or machinery, and no freezing. When it comes to naming his solo winemaking project, Charlie thought back to his childhood family trips to Monterey, where he and his dad spent hours watching and photographing the coast's iconic freewheeling cormorants.
I've got a question for
everyone. We got plenty of those in Florida.
We sure do. I was watching one this morning.
It's a bird. I knew that was coming. It's an amazing bird that likes to perch on the edge of the lakes and waters with its wings outstretched, kind of like
drying them out, because the bird swims underwater. All you see is the head and the neck.
Underwater.
So I think the Seminole name for him is Anhinga, but it's
no. An Anhinga is a different bird.
You altogether.
Sure? Yes. Mm-hmm. There's an Anhinga and a cormorant. They're two different birds.
I thought that was the name that they called that one.
But they're different. Mm. One actually has white. Mm. Is it the Anhinga? I think on its wings. But yeah, I was watching a cormorant this morning. Interesting.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah
they're very cool.
Yeah.
They love to dry their wings outstretched in the sun. You'll see them sitting there with their wings outstretched.
Yep.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Because if they don't, they can't get up, because when they come out of the water, they're all wet and they're too heavy and they can't fly.
They're a bird that hunts under the water.
Yeah.
That's cool.
For their fish and their food. It's amazing.
So you see the birds come up with the fish in their mouth. It's often them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here we are with current sellers. And the first wine is going to be the Cormorant Cellar Sauvignon Blanc 2021. Comes in with an ABV at 12.9%. Interesting number.
13's too much.
Yep. It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc, 100% Dry Creek Valley, fermented and aged steel and neutral French oak barrels. After the native fermentation, the lees were stirred to build, I don't know about this reading, to build mouthfeel? Yeah, that makes sense to me, right? Yeah. Feel. Anyway, so let's look at the color. Very pretty, very pale, straw, clear, light yellow. So many different ways to describe it, but I think very typical Sauvignon Blanc. On the nose, I actually did get this hybrid stainless steel oaky nose, and it was kind of bright with some lemons, at least for me. The palate I thought was really interesting because it was tart. So I first got the lemons very on tart. The nose, and then I got these very tart lemons on the palate. And I've got, I believe, for me, even more oak on the palate. And I actually like oaked wines, so I thought this was really pleasant. It has a very decent finish, and I really enjoyed this wine. How about you?
I like the mouthfeel. It kind of reminded me of the first bite of cream of wheat in the morning.
First bite of cream of wheat.
Yeah.
Not the second.
No, okay. First bite.
I just want to get that
perfect. Because then the butter hits and it's a whole different mouthfeel after that.
True.
Yeah. I got like pears, unripe apples, and seaweed on the nose, on the palate, like green melon, apricot. The finish was pleasant. It was like light French oak. It's like they gave instructions to the winemaker, do not make cougar juice, and they did not.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that was the instructions.
I like that description. Well, I thought Denise nailed it. I agree that it's very citrusy, both on the nose and on the palate, to be a bit tart and a little bit of green apple. For me, it was a little bit spritzy on the palate on the initial taste, and then that blew off. With time in the glass, I found the finish to be pleasant, relatively short to medium. It's a really nice, well-made Sauvignon Blanc. And I agree with you, Denise, the oak was just subtle. It had a little appearance there, like a little cameo role, particularly on the finish, while being short. If you really look hard, you can find a little hint of oak. So while it was mostly a bright steel finish, you do get those little hints of oak surprise here and there. So very nicely made wine. Bob, what do you think?
Yeah, I got to lean what Justin said. They didn't make cougar juice. It's not overly oaked, which unfortunately I understand. Whatever the style is that sells, you go with. You know, it's oak should be a one color in the palette. It's not all the palette. It you know, that's you're
but
not painting a picture
are
with nothing.
Typically
that.
Not. It's rare to find an overly oaked Sauv Blanc. Yeah. Chardonnay, yeah, different story.
But yeah,
in the Sauv, they're typically stainless steel.
You get a few that just you know, like where are you going with this? I mean, it's just, you know, there's just that slight bit of woodiness to it. When we first tasted it, it was like in my face, lime. And he's right on the saltiness on that seaweed. I get that saltiness too. It made me think of margaritas. I mean, like, yeah. I'm getting lime. I'm getting like a saline, a saltiness, like a minerality from the soil. And I got on the nose, I got some, I still get them, some white flowers, you know, just like, just a little bit of white flower on it. And on the palate, it's tart yet sweet, a nice crisp edge to it. It's got a nice clean finish to it. It's not cloying. It's not sticky. It's not, you know, doing any of the wrong things. I think it was very well made. Really enjoyed it. So, I think for the first one out of the box we've had from Cormorant, you know, pretty good. So we are going to be giving the Cormorant Cellars, 2021 a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Very nice.
And I looked it up. In China, they train cormorants to fish.
Cool.
They go down, they catch the fish, it jumps back up on the boat, and then basically coughs the fish back up. Figure that one out.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the lovely Sauvignon Blanc from the folks at Cormorant Cellars. Well-deserved 3 sips on that one. Lovely wine. So we're going to be going on to our next wine from them, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The next wine will be the Cormorant Cellars Grenache Blanc Marsenne 2021. It's 12.9% ABV. It is 64% Grenache Blanc and 36% Marsanne. Fermented and aged primarily in neutral French oak barrels with ambient yeast from the vineyard, pressed in deep in Dry Creek Valley. Marsanne has a history of no acid, and Grenache Blanc grown in Dry Creek can have high acid until sugar starts climbing in the fruit, so it was necessary to time the Grenache Blanc pick. This wine, again, has a very pale, light straw color. On the nose, papaya, candied green apple, a bit of lime, and definitely some floralness. I found this to be really creamy on the palate. I had to look twice. I'm not sure I've ever had a Grenache Blanc before. This was a really, really fun and interesting. Found it to be creamy, mouth coating. Reminded me a bit of a big Chardonnay, but yet completely different. The finish was medium. I just found it to be a really unique wine, one like I haven't had before. Pleasant, creamy, and very enjoyable. Well, what'd you think, Denise?
The complete opposite of you. So I enjoyed this one. It is not my favorite of the day, but that's okay. You know, different strokes for different. I did get the floral aromas on the nose, and those were really pleasant. So when I went into it, I was hopeful. It's not an unpleasant wine for me, but it's, I don't get that creamy mouthfeel that you get. In fact, for me, it's a little thin, even a little one note. I may have actually described it as a little bland for me. And I thought that the finish was actually a little bit short. So although it's not off-putting or unpleasant, it's just not everything that I had hoped for.
I wonder if you missed it.
Nose.
How long did you wait to try it in the glass? Because I think it's fallen a little flat since it's out of my glass. When I first poured it, it was completely different than it is now, and it's fallen off a little bit.
Well, those are when I first poured it, and I was hopeful that when I came back to it, it would open up a little bit or be a little creamier, but it's pretty much stayed the same for me in the glass. Hmm. How about you, Justin?
So I get the color.
Did you get the creamy mouthfeel too?
No, it was kind of an acidic punch for me. See, off the bat, bold. And then it was like flat Sprite with some tropical fruits at the end. And the color had like, it was clear, it had like a little bit of bubbles in it.
Yes, it did. Right?
Which was
like a little champagne-y almost.
Yeah. There was a slight effervescence out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that faded off mm-hmm. over time. So now yeah. I have to really look for the bubbles. They're still there, but they're kind of hiding now. Mm-hmm. And then the finish was pleasant, but flat. But not bad.
Yeah, no, not unpleasant.
Well, I'm with Maury. I kind of enjoyed this one. I got a lot of tropical fruit on it, on the nose.
Very polarizing one.
I get a... Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
I get a Granny Smith apple. I don't really get the lime in this one. It's more like a tart apple. I get some flowers, maybe like violets. And then on the palate... I think the acidity comes through very nicely. I think the two low-acid, high-acid wines played off well with each other. It's very crisp. I get apples. I get pears. Yeah, I mean, a very nice little refreshing little wine. I kind of enjoyed this one. And I'm with Maury on the fact that, like, how many Grenache Blancs have you had?
Right.
So that just makes it interesting anyway.
Exactly.
You know, much less, you know, the blend that you have going on here. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody doing it somewhere, but I'm, you know, I haven't really had. I found it interesting. So we're going to be rating the Cormorant Cellars Grenache Blanc Marsanne 2021. Three sips.
Interesting.
Yeah, that effervescence, I saw it as soon as I poured it in the glass. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and I kind of dig when you get that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fun.
It's just interesting. So, all right. So we're going to go to our Chardonnay next, I believe. We're going to have Justin tell us about our next one.
So this is Cormorant Cellars Chardonnay 2021. Or 13.4% alcohol by volume. It's 100% Chardonnay. It's from Monterey County, 100% from the Zabala Vineyard. This Chardonnay grows just next to the Arroyo Seco riverbed, with river rocks and sand being the primary terrain. The color on this was a cloudy light yellow, and I have effervescence in this expression as well. The nose... like very floral with like tropical fruits, melons. The palate's complex. You can really tell these vines struggled and produced a pretty interesting wine. And the finish was like slightly buttery. I really like this. What did you think, Maury?
You know, I agree with you, Justin. I thought it was a delicious wine. I think it's an easy drinker. It's a beautiful Chardonnay. It's an somewhat entry level, but I thought it was extremely pleasant. I think it had all the features you mentioned. It was not overly oaked. It was not overly buttery. It had a couple of those features, which I enjoyed in my Chardonnay. It had a nice creamy mouthfeel. I really enjoyed this wine quite a bit, and thought, you know, I think for the money, I think it's very enjoyable. And, I liked it a lot. Denise, what do you think?
I agree, with both of you, actually. I love the nose. I thought that the floral aromas really came through nicely. I like, on the palate that it's crisp, it's a little tart. But to be honest, a little bit the back toward the finish for me, it's a little metallic. And that was early on, and I decided to revisit it, and I still get the same little hint of metallic.
May have had some stainless steel fermentation in
at
there.
At the end for me.
I didn't really get that as much.
But it's pretty noticeable.
The tart and crispness that you talk mm-hmm. about. For me, the creaminess kind of really balanced out a lot of the tartness compared to the first two wines. I found this to be much less tart.
And I thought the finish was longer than expected, and that was really nice and pleasant as well. So anybody else?
Yeah, it was
else?
Pretty long. I agree. It was pretty long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, what they're doing here, they're doing a good job. And I think it's commendable that they're doing everything organic, and they're basically leaving the wine alone and letting it work on its own. So mm-hmm. I find that extremely interesting. I mean, for me, it's got a very pretty nose, and again, not, you know, overly oaked, overly butterly, you know, not cougar juice. It's got a very interesting nose. There's like green melon, a lot of flowers. And on the palate, I get that melon up front and a little bit of tropical fruit. You know, there's a nice edge to it. The acidity comes through very well. That back edge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, for me, it's more like graphite than metal, than metallic. I'm not sure which. But I think I get what you're saying. But all in all, very pretty little wine. Yeah.
It's definitely at the very end for me.
Mm-hmm. After you swallow the very back palate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see. Is that off-putting to me? No, I'm fine with it. Everything else is really good up front. Mm-hmm. So, you know, well done. So we're going to be rating the Cormorant Cellar Chardonnay 2021. A well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
That brings us up to our last wine from the folks at Cormorant. So this is the Cormorant Cellars Red Blend, 13.47% ABV, 72% Merlot, 24% Cabernet Sauvignon, 4% Petit Verdot, 100% Black Ridge Vineyards from the Santa Cruz Mountains. This cool climate vineyard is dry farmed. Again, just letting nature do it, which is cool. Fermentation occurred in small containers ranging from 1 to 5 ton. Varietals were kept separate for 10 months in neutral barrels before blending. So,
does dry farm mean no irrigation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, if the climate allows. You know,
yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it gives you some character because they got to struggle. It's got a lovely purplish garnet edge to it. Got nice clarity. On the nose, it's got a almost like a dried flowers. Like a dried flowers and a dried fruit aroma. A little bit of sweetness at the tip of the nose and on the palate. On the palate, there's a nice earthiness to this at the front palate for me. The sweetness comes through kind of center palate, but there's a nice base to it. The tannin is there, but it's not overpowering. Got a pretty good finish to it. Got a nice mouth coat. Bit of tartness to it, but yeah, overall pretty nice. What did you think, Denise?
I actually really like this. I really like the nose. So
the nose is
at first, right out of the bottle, it was like a big bowl of cherries.
Big nose. Yeah. Big,
and then it
nose.
Turned into like a baked cherry pie.
Yeah.
And then it has, you know, some of these other like tart citrusy notes. So I found it really, really interesting. And it's funny that you described it as earthy at first, because I think if must be a good thing.
Yeah.
That's
exactly
how I would describe this. Very pleasant, very nice, but you know, very earthy, damp, musty.
That's the tart that I'm getting. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's like slightly underripe cherries for me.
Yeah. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought the finish was great. Has a nice mouthfeel. It's definitely fuller bodied I had, you know, expected, and that's a nice pleasant surprise.
Since we poured it, I think it's opened up even more for
me. Agreed.
I definitely think it's my face. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. Maury, you're staring at me. Do you concur or not at all?
I was a little underwhelmed when we first poured it. I actually found it to be really closed and pedestrian when we first poured it. But then I agree with you initially, the nose, I just wrote berries and fruit. It was just an explosion and a bouquet. I believe on the palate, though, a lot of fruit, a lot of fresh. It was very pleasant. I found the finish to be short. It definitely improved in the glass. And I agree with you. It's got some interesting nuances that make it a fun. I find it just a fun, easily approachable, all-day sipper. Very nice, you know. I hate to use the word entry level, but I just think it's a very pleasant wine. It's not necessarily my go-to flavor profile for a big steak, but or a big food wine. But for an afternoon of drinking and enjoying and relaxing, it's well made. I think it's really pleasant. It's really enjoyable. There's no flaws. It's just a nice wine.
Good with the charcuterie.
But there you go.
Justin? Yeah, that would be nice.
So the nose of this wine really reminded me of like a Northern Eden coffee, like citric notes, a little bit of orange juice, pasteurized, nice ripe fruit. The palate was big and bold, but the finish was refined at the end. So
I thought it was short. I thought it kind of just abrupt.
It was short, but it was refined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, balance
for me,
short and balanced. Just for you, short. Yeah, but for me, it was short and balanced. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with Maury. I'm not going to lay this down for a decade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I think this is not so much I'm looking for a big steak with it. This is just I'm sitting around the house and watching a game and I want a red wine. This is perfectly fine right here. Yeah,
right. A charcuterie board would go well with it. Yeah. Some snacks, almonds and nuts and
some almonds, some walnuts, cheese. A little bit of cheese.
Or fried chicken.
Okay.
Well, fried chicken goes with Kool-Aid for crying out loud. Fried chicken goes with everything. So it's the
this
universal
and Popeyes,
food.
It's a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, really nice. I mean, really, really nice. I'm impressed with what they're doing at Cormorant. I mean, especially since they're going organic and, you know, letting nature take its course. So. Yeah. That's again, very interesting. So we're going to be giving the Cormorant Cellars Red Blend 2021 a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next winery, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that in the little bit of time we got left.
All right, Bob, thanks. We'll get started, see how we do. In 93, Joey Tensley got his start in the wine business working as a cellar rat for Fess Parker's Winery in Santa Barbara County. After only 3 years, he became the assistant winemaker at Babcock Vineyards. While there, Joey came to appreciate the importance of the vineyard and the grower. He also came to appreciate the uniqueness of Santa Barbara County as a growing region. In 1998, Joey moved on to become assistant winemaker at Beckman Vineyards, where he was offered space to make his own label. At Beckman, he developed his love for Rhone varietals and decided Tensley Wines would produce only Rhone varietals and only source from Santa Barbara County. Today, Tensley Syrahs have made the Wine Spectator's Top 100, scored 99 points with Robert Parker, and won Food & Wine Magazine's award for the Top Syrah in America over $20. Some impressive accolades.
All I can say is thank you for somebody in California actually bottling Syrah.
Yes.
Everybody blends it out into something else. Nobody gives it what it's really due.
In tough seasons, you notice they're coming out with a lot more varietals on their own to make up for the lack of volume of cab.
Well,
so it's kind of fun in the off years.
You know, it's like cab front.
Yeah.
When we were out in Napa a few weeks ago, it's like, you know, you have a cab franc. You saw how excited I got? Oh,
yeah.
Please pull it out. Pull it out. I want to try some of the different ones. I don't want, you know, every day single, you know, this is what everybody does. Do something different.
Yeah.
Differentiate yourself. And Syrah is definitely a grape that I think is not looked at as much as it should be here in the U.S.
Well, in other parts of the world, it's much more prominent.
Absolutely.